Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Yeah, people, join the fun. There's always fun involved when Eric is part of the mix. So hopefully all you guys that were in Irma's path are okay and safe, and that those of you who are going to feel her effects, please be safe. Turn around, don't drown. So I want to welcome my son, Eric, spirit guide, who passed away a few years ago. Hi, sweetie, I love you.
He's like, hey, Mom, like a real long drawn out.
Oh, I miss you. And I want to express my gratitude for Kim Babcock, his translator. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got
to
do it.
Joy to be here. That's right. Sometimes it is a dirty job. So that's why I share the visuals with you guys.
There we go. Now, we will share more about Kim in a moment, but first I want to give a shout-out to LiveParanormal.com. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. Now, today, Eric wants to talk about seeking approval. I mean, we do tend to raise our children, and we were probably raised to seek approval. You know, I'm of the mind, and this is what all my parenting books were about, that we are pack animals. So we have to feel the sense of belonging, right? And there are a couple of ways to do that. One is you can conform. You can conform to their standards. You can seek approval, okay? If you do that, then you are externally directed and you're following your own external compass. You know, you're looking at the latest fashions. You're trying to figure out what's cool and not cool to say with your peers, etc. Or you can be self-directed and gain that sense of belonging by coming up with some meaningful contribution for the pack. And then you're free to use your internal compass. But I know that Eric will have a lot more wisdom to put in this whole thing. So, dude, take over. Save me from myself.
That's right. He does. He always has something to say. And I have yet to find a client who has been able to stump him. Nobody has been able to stump him. So whatever questions you guys have, bring it. So anyway, he's like, there's so many things to look at when we look at and digest seeking approval, what it is. He's like, first of all, it's something that we basically are born into. Like, it's a condition, it's a conditioned pattern that we're born into, he says. So it's like we're taught from very, very young, you know, oh, if you do good, you know, I'll give you a treat. Or if you behave, you get extra privileges. So it's just the conditioned patterns that we are born into that sort of train us to believe and follow those external things for approval. And then as we grow and grow and grow, older as we age, he's showing it becomes deeper and stronger, like that urge for external, you know, seeking approval externally. It becomes interlaced with family, friends, your work, everything, and even your self-worth. Like, even the essence of you can become externalized.
Oh, yeah.
Seeking approval, he says. So when you guys are in this position where, he says, first of all, you have to be willing, again, to, like, look at your behavior, he says, look at your patterns if you can. Or even maybe if you have a friend who can be honest with you, he's like, have someone else kind of look at, you know, do I do this a lot? Do I seek approval? Because sometimes it's hard to see. He's trying to show that it can be like a subconscious pattern that we have. And it's like, you know how you say people, or he says, you know how you see people that will go, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but so.
But yes,
like,
you do.
Yeah, it's like, well, they're saying sorry, like they're apologizing for their behavior. Therefore, in some weird, twisted way, he says, they're seeking approval to even approach or even talk or ask a question. So
yeah.
it's patterns like that that go unseen. So what he's saying is, like, well, first of all, there's a couple of things you need to be able to look at. He says, there's so many. There's at least, like, four dynamics he wants to digest here, so this might take a minute. He goes, bullet point number one, you need to ask yourself, is it a worthy cause to be contributing your energy to? Because if it's not, and he'll tell us what that means anyway. He says, if it's not, then you're rendering your own self unworthy. So if you just keep slaving, he says, to something energetically, and you're not, like, you're not validated in your efforts, then you are then, like, rendering yourself invalid. You're rendering yourself...
Well, why do you need validation, though? Why can't you just do it because you feel fulfilled by it? Why do you need validation from the outside?
He says, well, Mom...
I mean, I don't. I want to do good things without even people knowing it's me. I don't want validation from the outside. I don't need it.
True. He says, but there are people that you become enslaved to situations and circumstances, and that's where people get stuck. Those people that are externally driven, that are seeking that approval, they get stuck in those patterns where they seek, like, that validation. And then he's showing, like, then it becomes tiring, then it becomes a redundant cycle. So you have to ask yourself, like, is it a worthy cause? So what he means by that is like, okay, if you're doing something over and over and over and you're not growing through it, nobody else is able to grow or expand, it's not serving anybody in a good way, you have to be able to answer to yourself that it's an unworthy cause. Basically, that's when you are in that external place, he says, of like needing, looking for justification or approval. To change that, he says, like to reverse that, you have to know your worth in something. So so for the people that get stuck in those patterns of like serving an unworthy cause, when you get stuck in those patterns, you have to be able to internalize it and know your worth in something. So for you, just like what you just said, well, I like to do things and people not even know. That's because you know your worth in that. You know yourself, your value in that. So you don't need that, like, external, he's using the word proof, but it's more like that external validation again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a word, you have already given yourself permission, basically, to say yes to, like, to me, this is a worthy cause to me. Those who can't say that, like, I don't know if this is a worthy cause, they keep doing it and doing it, he says. Like, they stay enslaved to it. So then he says, then you have people that they're all just wallflowers, he says. They all just want to blend in. Nobody wants to be themselves. Nobody wants to know what their essence is like, their truth. And when they do this, when they blend in, that's when you find, again, people seeking approval, people trying to blend in with the rest. So they seek approval with those to be like those. People, he goes, trust me, the people that don't just become a wallflower don't need that external approval. They don't need that external justification in who they are. They are who they are regardless. So the people that are, that need to blend in and just want to be a part of the crowd, they don't want to be seen, those are the people with the insecurities of self-worth. And
sure.
If you don't, and he, so he's kind of talking about, he's literally showing someone like a field of energy going into a group of people and completely like energetically absorbing those people and their energy. So it's like going in, and because you don't know your own worth, you absorb others like to be your own. so, and then that's when you start to see people act like each other and so on. He says, basically, again, people living from like the egoic standpoint instead of the true essence, because if they're in that pattern of seeking approval, they're going to do what others accept. Like, they're going to fall in those patterns of what others accept as right and normal and, you know, what the crowd is doing. So if it's accepted by society, most people are going to just, like, fall into that pocket. So,
well, I mean, I remember being that way when I was in, I don't know, college, maybe medical school, maybe both. But I would just adopt the taste of music of my roommates for some reason, okay? I don't know why. I guess I did like it, but maybe I just wanted to, you know, feel like I fit in. So
yeah,
that's pretty common.
And that's when it is very common. And that's when you haven't accepted yourself in something yet. So whether it's like fully and completely, so whether it's your taste of music, your type of clothes, to what you're studying in school or what you do for a living, if you haven't completely accepted yourself in that, you're always going to be looking for that that acceptance and that approval, that justification from others. Most people, Mom, he says, that don't know their worth are always asking other people for permission and justification before they make any changes in their life. So it's like one of those examples where, I don't know, I really like this job and the offer's on the table. What do you think? Do you think I should do it? So it's like they render themselves unworthy to make the decision.
Well, they're afraid to be wrong. They'd rather their friend be wrong. Wait a minute, you told me to take this job. Screw you, I hated it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that might be part of it. But I think part of it is you need to really be your authentic self. And a lot of people who are approval seekers don't really know who they are.
Exactly. That's so true. And they hide behind the mask of the ego. They always put the ego up front before, you know, their true essence. So when you have accepted yourself completely and fully, you don't hear those people like bouncing their decisions off of other people before they finalize it. He's like, you see them kind of, they're the leaders, they're the ones that take charge, and they don't need approval to do so. So just remember,
yeah, and when you're your authentic self, then you know yourself so well that you know what kind of meaningful contributions or, you know, one or more contributions you can give to the pack to gain that sense of belonging.
Right. You know your worth.
Exactly.
So he's like, when you're giving something, offering something, whatever it is, maybe it's just your presence that you're offering. Instead of asking permission or seeking approval, you know your worth in it. Like, you know, the validity of your presence and how it could help someone else. So that contribution isn't needed. The justification isn't needed externally. If you already know it, it's you stand in that energy, and so it is, basically, he says.
Yeah, if it's not good enough for the people around you, screw it. Find some better friends. If they don't accept you for who you are as your authentic self, then move on.
That's exactly what he was saying, and because he's like, and believe me, you have to ask yourself if you're serving a worthy cause, because if you're not, then that's when you need to move on. He's like, you have to be fair to yourself because you are human, and you do get tired and fatigued. So eventually, your well is going to run dry if you don't ensure that you're serving a worthy cause that's in your highest good for yourself and everybody else. If you don't know when to draw the line, it's like you will get tired, you will get worn out, you'll get jaded, because that's the these are his words. That's the bliss of the human experience. And he has like a sarcastic tone. We get tired and worn out when we're serving these causes that are unworthy, he says, because we have lost our place in it. We've lost ourselves in that cause. We've now become the cause instead of stayed ourself. So so it's like our whole consciousness gets enveloped by that, and then we don't see truth anymore. He's like, it's really sad, Mom, because it's that pattern of consciousness is in effect more so than not, like more often than not, where people are like, for an example, like a relationship. Maybe it's pattern and torn, and one person wants to make it work and the other one's not so sure. And the other one is just, you know, the one that wants to make it work is doing everything in his power to keep his partner and so on and so on. And then the other partner's just like, eh. You know, so eventually you're going to get tired and you're going to get jaded and your heart's going to get calloused, he says.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know your worth in that anymore. You're now just becoming a slave to the cause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So because you guys have to be fair to yourself and know what you contribute. Even if that person isn't willing to meet your efforts, you're giving these efforts, so know your value in that. And if someone else can't, validate that, or, and this is just in this type of scenario, he says, if someone else can't validate that, then you need to be fair to yourself and your worth and place your worth, back in here. And he's like tapping on his chest.
Mm.
So there's a lot that goes into this, and we could probably even do like another show on this topic, because he's showing, like, then we look at kids, you know, there's so many different ways we seek approval. We even seek approval, especially through, he goes, oh, you want to open the can of worms of social media? He goes, let's go there for a minute. It's like people don't feel like they're justified or approved by society if they don't have like so many likes, so many followers. It just triggers a thought pattern, Mom, like of negativity creates depression and so on. It's just like a downward spiral.
And of course, you have cyberbullying, which has caused many, suicides. So it's terrible.
Right.
And we raise our children to be approval seekers in what seems like an innocuous way, just by our words. For example, if you say to a child, I'm proud of you, that sounds fine, right? Sounds like nice. But really what you're saying to that kid is keep doing what it is you're doing that makes me proud. Instead of triggering them to reflect on themselves and create this self-praise mechanism by saying something like, I bet you're proud. So that they think,
exactly.
Well, am I proud? Well, yeah, I guess I am, because this is the basis of one of the books I wrote, Hearing is Believing, How Words Can Make or Break Our Kids. It's all sorts of things that we say that make them approval seekers, but it includes things that we need to say instead to make them self-directed. For example, directives. Go get your jacket. Why not say, it's 20 degrees outside. What do you think you need to do to be comfortable today? So that they can think for themselves. I can go on and on.
It's true, though, and that's what he's showing. Because, and it's funny because he's circling, like, preteens in that generation being so vulnerable to this concept. It's like seeking approval. Preteens, young children being so vulnerable to falling into that seeking approval. Like, and it's so basically, Mom, what they are is they are in that state of unworthy until they've been approved, like hearing that verbal reward, I'm proud of you. So they automatically accept that state for themselves, that they're unworthy until they've been approved. So it's a huge pandemic, he says, that we have to fix. We have to start being mindful of the way we talk to our friends, our loved ones, our children, and so on, and even ourselves. He goes, God, look at ourselves.
Yeah.
We talk to our internal dialogue, and we do the same thing. We criticize ourselves, and we've got to be able to change that. We've got to, he says, be mindful in order to make a difference. So if you want to make a difference, be mindful of when you are internalizing versus externalizing your self-worth and self-acceptance. Otherwise, you'll be in that infinite quest of seeking approval, and it sucks.
And you have to ask yourself, whatever criticism you have of yourself, is that really coming from you, or is it coming from your peers, your siblings,
yep.
society, your parents? You've got to decide,
yep, societal
is that your opinion, or somebody else's you have internalized?
Exactly. He's like, most of the time it's people's societal conditions that they think they should match, but they don't. So then this whole internal dialogue is born that creates illness, basically, suffering, misery. It disables you in one way or another. And he's like, I've been there. I've been through all of this. Like, this was my life. This was my experience. This was my life. And it was a battle back and forth. You go from, like, totally approving yourself one day to the next day being like, who was I kidding? So it's it can be a tricky zone, he says, to get stuck in. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, we probably need a part two on this, but we need to take callers. Before we do, is there any one piece of advice you can have for people to help them become self-directed rather than externally directed?
He just says, know your worth in what you're doing and in who you are. So your worth isn't in your doing. Your worth is in your being. So that basically, he's funny. He goes, that basically automatically validates what you're doing. He's like, but you've got to be the one to accept that. I could tell you that all day until I'm blue in the face, he says. But it's going to be up to you to accept your worth in something. Then you won't need approval. So
that sounds great. All right, Eric, are you ready to take a caller?
He's like, yeah, Mom. He's doing that thing. You know how you like how kids will like they'll snap both of their fingers and then they'll take like one palm and like slam it over the other hand that's like closed? You know what I mean? Like, make
I don't
a fist
know.
With your
I'm
right
not with
hand.
The program. I'm not with the program.
Not with the program.
But, yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. And again, I want to break to say thank you to liveparanormal.com for allowing us to do this. So let's take our
that's
first
right.
caller. And this is a caller from the 623 area code. Hi there. How are you doing?
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is Lori, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
We met up in Sedona, and we had a great time together. What would you like to ask our boy?
I would like to ask him about a man that I was dating. His name is Brian. And then Brian decided to take his ex-wife back. So is there – and this seemed like a pretty – important relationship to me. Is there still something in the works for us? I don't think that can be such a great thing for them. Or is there somebody else for me?
Okay. Ultimately, to be completely honest, I feel like when I ask Eric, okay, is there something still between her and Brian? I feel like this is a no, because he says, Brian isn't in a place to know himself completely and what he wants. So it doesn't matter who he's giving himself to. I think he's not completely there. He doesn't know what he wants for himself, so he can't possibly give that and share that with another. So, again, it's like it's no matter who he's with, he's kind of scattered. He's not quite collected. He might seem a little here and there, back and forth kind of. So it's in your best interest to stay, he says, connected to who you are and what you want for yourself and collected. Not just connected to that, but collected in that. Because if we start scattering our pieces all over the place as far as what we want, we're not sure we want this, but we know we want that, then you'll wind up just like him, back and forth. And that just creates misery. It's like one of Eric's favorite things to tell people is, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything at all. Wait until you know. Sit with it, wait, digest it, breathe it in. So it's like connect with yourself and collect yourself in the heart as far as what you want for yourself in a relationship, and then you'll be able to move and share that with someone. But otherwise,
well, are
you'll
they
just
meant
wind up
to be together, Eric?
What was that?
Are they meant to be together?
He says no. It it's like, I wish I could say yes, but Eric is just, the energy doesn't flow. So when the energy stops flowing, that's his way of saying no.
That's right now because of circumstances, but in the future.
He's still saying no.
Okay.
I wish I could give you more hopeful words, and sometimes it's so hard to pass along the blunt, honest truth, but that's my job, to be as honest and truthful as possible. But he just makes me feel like ultimately it just seems like it's a really thick or prevalent pattern that he's in of this back and forth. And it's not just with you or with this other person he's with. I think this is going to be a pattern throughout this incarnation, just kind of back and forth, like sure and then not so sure, sure and not so sure. So,
well, is there somebody else that's around the corner for her, a soulmate?
He goes, oh, Mom, anybody could be a soulmate. He's like, it depends on how you look at it. So So he goes, stay collected. He's not saying connected anymore, but stay collected in who you are. And it's like be what you want for yourself. Because when you emanate that, you attract it. You are it. You are in that reality. So if it's, and this is just a silly example, he says, but if it's Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, then what does it feel like to be with Mr. Charles Atkinson? What does it feel like to be with that loyal, faithful, fun-loving partner? Connect to the emotions of it, the emotional reality of it. And when you do, it's like you step into that channel, you step into that reality, and then that's where you'll find, because yes, he says, there is another partner, a different partner. But it's just a matter of you. So stay collected in what you want, but be mindful of crossing that line into developing attachments to the outcome, because that's a danger zone. He's like, that's the tricky part, is when we stay connected to what we want, the ultimate goal, but then we have attachments to how we're going to get it and when and where and who. So don't attach to that part. Just stay connected to the emotional reality of what it feels like to have that person in your day-to-day life. So breathe it, smell it, feel it, he says. Love it, experience it, and stay in that. So, and again, this is, he says, to mention how this relates to the topic. He's like, oh, he like really cares for you. He's being really sweet. He goes, don't you dare question your worth for a minute because someone changed their mind. He was like, and he's trying to show how frequently that happens and how insignificant it can be in the grand scheme of things. So he's saying, like, don't you dare question your worth or become insecure because Brian went back to his ex. It has nothing to do with who you are at all.
Right.
So don't you dare start to reflect like that, he says. And when he says, don't you dare, he's being, like, really compassionate. So.
Because Lori's the bomb.
I hope that helps. Yeah, I feel like I've been living it, and you know, I'm kind of like treading water. So it's strange.
I hope that helps you, and just continue to stay mindful and stay collected with who you are and what you want. Meaning, don't let external circumstances define who you are. That's not you at all, he says.
No, that is not her, really. Okay, Lori, sweetie, I love you.
Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you, Kimberly.
Best wishes, Lori. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. All right, bye.
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 I know her really well, and she's just a sweetie, a real sweetie. Aww. Okay, we're going to take one from the 530 area code. Hi there.
Hi there. My name is Chris. Thanks for taking
my call.
Hi, I've called guys in the past, but it's been a little while now.
Okay.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I was wondering, I just asked my doctor for low-dose naltrexone, and I got rejected. So I was about to do it on the internet in about a week or so, And I was wondering if Eric feels that I'm a good candidate for it, me and my son.
Oh, good question. You know, these doctors, they don't, if you think of the idea that will help you, their ego says, wait, what? I can't be good. And plus, it's so cheap that the big pharma does not send pharmaceutical reps out to educate doctors about it. So they know nothing.
I don't even know if
even
she researched.
There's a recent study
for the information, but I don't even know that she took the time to really research it.
Oh,
you know,
no.
I think she just they said no. So
because nobody cares about your health more than you do. Nobody.
Exactly.
That's
okay,
true.
Go ahead, Eric. What should she do?
He says that you're here for a reason. You're on this path for a reason. So to answer your question, yes. You've become aware, and this has come into your consciousness for a reason. So he says that you are a good candidate for this, but I feel like you're going to have to go through a handful of doctors before you're going to get one that at least is going to hold space for you enough to listen to what you're saying. So unfortunately, I feel like you might have to get 2 or 3, maybe even 4 opinions, if possible, before a doctor actually is like, let me look into this and get back to you. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do, though. You can.
I'm going online to get it.
Yeah, Google find an LPN doctor. It's for this
I've got
reason.
An appointment. I have the appointment yet. As soon as I get the money, I'm making the appointment.
Right.
The online doctor. But I just had seen a couple reviews from patients, and I wasn't really wanting to listen to that because I think some of them were getting off opiates, and that was kind of hard for them. But I was just curious to see what Eric thought, if he felt it would be good for me and for my son, too. His issues are different from mine, but I was just curious if he thought for both of us.
Yeah. He says it will, because I asked him about both of you. Now, let me ask you
this. Oh, good.
Is it you or your son that's, like, has emotional distress, or, like, the emotions are just loud? Which one of you would...
both right now, actually. Kind of
both.
That? I mean, mine is more of a worried stress thing. His is more, he's on the autism spectrum, and he has a hard time with emotions. But I also had a stroke, and I have Crohn's, so it could be both of us.
Yeah. Well, it works well with Crohn's. They did a study at Stanford.
That's what I thought. That's why I figured I'd be a great candidate, and that's why I just thought I would get some insight from Eric, you know, just to back it up.
And I don't know if you've seen some of the studies with autism.
I know. I mean, I saw that too, but I just figured I would check with him because I can't really afford right now to get an appointment for both of us. And I was curious if I should start him on it or if I should wait until I can get him an appointment online.
Interesting. This is what, I mean, that's up to you. That part's going to be up to you.
Yeah.
But he will answer. He says that if you can, there's emotional distress that he just keeps talking about. He says, emotional distress, acknowledge the emotional distress. So even if you don't feel like you're in turmoil, it's the emotions are louder than you. So what that means is you're giving more presence to your emotions than to your true self-awareness, your true self. So when we do that, that's what actually triggers all this other shit, he says. So it triggers like a lack of consciousness, which can lead to things like the Crohn's. I mean, it leads to all sorts of illness, disease, and so on, disorders and stuff like that. So he says that this is going to target, it's going to nail, these are his words, it'll nail the emotional distress and kind of put that at rest, which will help other things that are inflamed and like yelling at you. And he's like referencing like the Crohn's disease. You know how people say like, oh, my arthritis is talking to me today or my Crohn's is talking to me today. It's like, you know. You know, that's kind of the reference he's making. So
yeah, that makes sense.
It's
actually
what
is
underlying
sense too.
But try to get the telemedicine doc to just give you, hopefully, naltrexone 50 milligram tablets so that you can split it, so that it dissolves, put it in 50 cc's of distilled water. You can get a graduated cylinder from Amazon for like $4 or something, so that you can... You know, you can just squirt the dose into your mouth. That is less than a penny a day. So much cheaper than getting
will go for
compounded
sure. Keep it in
pill.
The fridge, right?
Yes, and preferably in an amber jar, but it's so much cheaper. I don't know if they'll do that, but
you can try.
That would be great. I think I'm going to try that route for sure. And I'll start him out a little lower and start myself out a little lower and build up to the 4.5 if that seems to work. So.
Right, right. Just start
Eric says,
low and slow.
I think you're going to see a big improvement with your son, especially. I mean, you both benefit from this, but he's really circling your son. So,
awesome. That sounds
awesome.
All right, I'm excited for you. Get back to us and let us know how it works.
I definitely will. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate
it.
Have a take care.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. It's called the Why Not Drug because it's so safe and cheap, and it helps so many things. I mean, they just had several cases where, patients with pancreatic cancer, when they're on low-dose naltrexone and IV alpha-lipoic acid, lipoic acid, they're cured.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Why are
they so afraid of it? My God.
Well, oncologists get paid for the chemotherapy drugs that they administer, so they don't. They want to keep with that toxic stuff.
Wow.
All right, let's take somebody from the 85 area code. Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah,
hi,
we're doing good.
This is Beth.
Hey, welcome, Beth.
Hey. I guess I was just curious, like, this planet that's headed our way, am I allowed to ask that? Like, what's going to happen there?
Nerubi or Nerubu, I can't remember the name of it. Is that one?
Yeah, I know, I can't say it either.
X?
Planet X, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did a session on that.
Yeah. So is your question to Eric, like, is it going to collide with us? Is it heading our way? What's your question?
I guess.
Give up?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
okay.
Okay.
Because he's like, your energy is unsure, so he's like unsure. He's like, what are you asking? Okay. You don't have to be afraid of it colliding with us anytime soon. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see it in this lifetime, he says. And he's just real, like, monotone in his voice, and he's real matter-of-fact about it. So whatever is going on with this planet, I feel like it is coming into our awareness. It is moving close to us, but I don't think it's a matter of, like, a catastrophic event, like, this is going to hit Earth and be the end of Earth, nothing like that. He says it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So I had to keep paying my damn bills then, I guess, huh?
Yeah,
right. Like,
well, now,
give it up, Mom.
Now that I know the world's not going to end, can I ask a better question? Just a short one.
Okay.
Is my third eye opening or is it open?
It's never closed.
Or how do I work on it?
He says it's never closed. And so he's wiggling his ears. That's a symbol for, like, everybody listen up. So everybody else, too, listening, he's like, just remind them. He says, remind them all. Your third eye is never closed. Neither is any other energy center in your body. No other meridian is closed either, he says. It's just a lack of presence. So he goes,
like awareness.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. He says, you can't tell someone would tell you to picture, like, a red guitar, and you can't picture it. You might have a little trouble, but you could probably generate some sort of an image, he says. So that's where you create that image is your third eye. But most of the time, people just don't pay attention to what they're seeing there. So maybe you just saw a flash of an image in your head of something. He's like, just begin to pay attention to those images in your mind. And it's real hard for people to decipher between, was I shown that or did I create that? And that's where you have to get to know yourself well enough to know when it wasn't generated by you. So practice.
No, that's valuable information for everybody. That's good.
Yeah. He says practice having awareness there, maybe through meditation or just every now and then plug into it. Like, have I seen anything lately? What am I seeing? What could I see? Or someone show me something. Just plug into it. Pay attention. Practice awareness. Because it's always open. It's just a matter of paying attention to it.
That's awesome. So, good deal. I hope that helps you.
I hope that helps you.
It does, and thank you all.
Good. You're so welcome. Take care, Beth.
Yeah, thank you,
calling,
Beth.
Thanks for hanging on the line.
I know. All right, got somebody from the 719 area code. Hi there. What's up?
Hi, this is Krista from Erie, Colorado.
Hey, Krista.
Ooh, hi, Krista.
So I'm calling to ask about my brother. He's had a really hard year. He is in jail right now. I've been trying to help him, and I feel super torn because he's been begging me to bail him out, and I feel like I need to just leave him in jail and let him go to prison. And
what's
he's been
his
very
first
suicidal,
name?
Brandon. And
okay.
I honestly, I guess I feel torn, but if I, like,
what did he do?
Like, I'm intervening in his life.
What
he
can you share?
He got a DUI, and it's his fifth. He got multiple charges because he had just gotten a fourth DUI just 2 or 3 months before that. It's just such a mess, and it hurts so much, and I just can't, like, I feel like I can't get a clear view of what I should do.
Yeah, it's really
like,
hard.
My question
is, this is a deep disease.
Yes.
This guy needs rehab. He needs help. And
yeah,
he probably
and
needs
help. I'm hoping
that
like a judge will see he needs rehab, and then this will be court ordered because we tried to help him, like my family, and he refused it, and
of course
it caused
just
a legal
right
problem.
Yeah, stop right there, because that's what Eric is like. Eric's really, I mean, he's been talking back to you the whole time you're talking, and he's like, he's very matter of fact, and he's very blunt. So it's not to be insensitive, but he's like, no, don't bail him out because he's not ready to change.
Yeah.
He's not ready to quit the destructive patterns, and he's just going to wind up hurting more than himself. So he may beg and plead you, and you might feel guilty because as siblings we feel some weird sense of responsibility, which in the grand scheme of things, he's like, we're all siblings. So let yourself off the hook of carrying that responsibility. And because it's like if you just bail him out, you're basically, and this is Eric having tuned into Brandon enough to be able to say this. Okay. So this is not a blanket across the board thing. This is this person in particular. He says this is how he would take it. If you bail him out, it's like saying, yeah, it's okay. We're here for you. It's okay. You know what you did is okay.
So it's enabling.
It kind of breeds, exactly.
It's
it
absolutely
breeds
enabling.
A disease. It breeds the illness that he already has that's out of control. So don't do it, he says. He needs to take the initiative because, again, if you bail him out, then he's not in a place of self-help and he can't get better until he wants to. I mean, you could put all the freaking rehab in his face you want, he says, but until he wants to do it and he takes the initiative, it's never going to matter what you do if you bail him out. So
I didn't really knew the answer to this, but you kind of need permission to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's seeking approval. Yep.
Yeah. Especially after when he calls me and begs and really digs at my heart,
it
makes me really think, am I making a clear decision? And I just told him, like, for the first week or so that I needed more time, I just couldn't just bail him out. I couldn't think clearly. And then I would be like set on my decision. And then he calls me and I go back to thinking I should. And then I'm like, but I have to
walk through the whole path
of how I got there.
You could be saving his life by not bailing him out. Seriously.
Exactly.
So would LDN work for him, Eric, since it increases endorphins so much or not?
I don't know that it's Eric. He's shaking his hand like, maybe a little, but I don't know if it's going to be that effective because it seems like Brandon has a lot of, he has destructive patterns, but it's mental. He needs like, psychiatric assistance or help or whatever you want to call it. He says, because he doesn't have the ability to properly process or like adapt in situations. Like he doesn't process. He just like flips off the handle. Like he goes from one extreme to the next, Eric says. And he's very impulsive. And he has a lot of patterns that he needs to break. I mean, he's even showing me theft. So I don't know if you know that or not, but You don't have to validate. It doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. Wow.
He just kind of shows me, like...
I believe you, though, because it wasn't until this last year that I really did realize that he wasn't fully functioning in his head to a degree of understanding what's going on. And that, yeah, that was that's like something that has occurred in the last few years, this really big mental deterioration.
What does he have?
It's
does
definitely
he,
been it, leading there, but wow, it's been significant.
What is like when he can't process? Eric's like when he can't process or adapt, he basically substitutes. Like he'll bring in other substitutions or like coping mechanisms, but they're not healthy solutions at all. So that's why he needs rehab. But it's sad, Mom. He says because they're like. Wherever he is in jail or even just, like, jail systems in general, they don't offer that shit. Like, they don't have they don't have good rehab. Like, they don't get rehabbed in jail. They get basically, like, thrown in a concrete room and that's it, he says.
So well, can they get psychiatric care? I mean, can he be diagnosed?
He does
he have depression?
Yeah,
he has bipolar? Does he have ADHD? What is wrong with, is there a mental illness he's suffering from? If so, what?
Yeah, he says that he does have a mental illness, and it's, I don't know what the terminology would be, but Eric is showing me, like, an inability to, like, accept change. That's one of them, like, to adapt to things that are different, and also some sort of inability to, like, to process and rationalize. So when, like, let's say things are really tough, like most humans are going to go, okay, I'm going to prioritize and do this and this and this. I don't think he could do that. I think he just freaks out.
Okay.
I think he just resorts to the emotions. So he can't process and, like, rationalize and, like, sequence his thoughts, Eric says. So there's a lot going on. He needs help.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could try to get him some help, at least a psychiatrist in the prison, in the jail or prison. I hope that helps, and we're going to pray for him, okay?
That does. Thank you. You guys have a good evening.
That
Thank
helps.
You.
You too.
Bye-bye.
It's so sad because it is such a serious illness. It really is. I just hate to see that.
It is. And it, you know, I hate the stigma too. People are afraid of people like that, and they cut them out of their lives, and that's even worse. You know.
I know. It's a shame. All right, we have somebody from the 614 area code. Hi, how are you?
I am good, Elisa. Hi, Kim.
Awesome.
Shelly.
Hi.
How are you?
Wait, Shelly who? Do you mind saying your last name? Is this the Shelly I think it is?
Yeah, Shelly Uphout. How are you?
Yay! Awesome!
Yay! How are you, girls?
Good!
Awesome!
Good.
It's good to have
All
you
right.
here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I always get a lot out of everybody else's question. I'm like, okay, but I still want to ask for myself. And I want to ask about my current relationship and any insight. Eric said he would give me some insight if I got through. So what can he tell me? What do I need to do? Because I'm ready to work. I'm ready to
can
do whatever I got to do.
What is your partner's name of the relationship that you're wondering about?
David.
First name. David.
Okay.
David.
There's a this is what he says. First off, he says communication style. There's a gap in communication. So you need to look at... there's a lot going on here, actually. But the first thing, the biggest thing you need to look at is communication style. It seems like you guys have two polar opposite styles of communicating what you're thinking, feeling, and how you share that to each other. So, for example, let's say you communicate through body language. Let's say he communicates through, like, actions and gestures. I mean, sometimes it's words, but it's more than that, he says. So... if that's his communication style through gestures and actions or, like, supportive things or whatever, that's how you need to communicate to him. Because then he's going to get you.
Right? Yeah.
Right. He goes, because then he's going to get you. So he also has to be willing to look at your communication style. If it's about body language and touch and that sort of thing, he's got to do that for you because then you're going to connect. If you just stay – stuck in what you believe and how you express yourself, then it's going to be like just two, you know, magnets that are facing the opposite end, repelling each other. So that's one dynamic that's, I think, is a big barrier. There's something, you both are being misunderstood. You're misunderstanding each other. He says, like, there must be a real fallout when it comes to communication. Also, I feel like this is where you need to ask yourself, he goes, what do you think we're talking about tonight? Why do you think we're talking about this? And why do you think you're on here tonight? Seeking approval? Are you seeking approval in this relationship? No, it's not about going like, should I be in this relationship? But it's about the deeper meaning. Like, look at where, you know, is this a worthy cause? So look at how you accept yourself in something. So if you're kind of running around scratching your head, like, I don't know what to do, like, you know who you are and you know what you want. So be that and stay in that. Because if you alter, like, if you sway in that in any way, if you kind of fall weak in that, then you're not going to be able to express yourself in any effective way to your partner, and then that's where the communication just falls out. Like,
here's like the example tonight, specifically, like right now tonight, rather than coming home, he opted to go to the bar. It was clear he really didn't want me to go. He wanted to go drink, do his guy thing. But when he comes home, it's going to be a, you know, his drinking is blackout drinking. So I get angry. I get frustrated and I get angry. And there is not a good communication. I tend to shut my mouth because I have nothing nice to say, but he won't remember it in the morning anyway. So, but then,
yeah,
like tomorrow, he's perfectly fine and he's happy and lovey. And so when it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's like, it's off the rail. And I don't get it. I don't know. That's where I'm like, that's where I scratch my head.
This is what he's saying to you. He goes, so, and he's being really straightforward. He goes, so are you serving a worthy cause? So when you look at the relationship, he says, are you growing? Do you find yourself in love? Do you find yourself in, like, frustration? Because if you're repeating the same cycles over and over and over, you're stagnant. You're not evolving.
Mm-mm.
So he goes, you have to be willing to answer. Are you brave enough to answer that for yourself? Is this a worthy cause to serve and serve and serve and serve? Because it's like becoming enslaved to communicating yourself and trying to get yourself heard. And then,
but what about if the guy gets help for his problem with alcohol?
He doesn't want help, Eric says.
Mm-hmm.
He must be.
No.
He
is
real.
A cowboy. He is reckless. He is, like, just going through life fast and reckless. And I've learned a lot. That's why I'm like, am I still learning? Yes, I'm still learning. But to what cost, I guess?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, is there light at the end of the tunnel that's not a train? That's my question.
Right. You have to be,
you have to decide whether
you need to work.
If you want a straightforward answer when you say there's light at the end of the tunnel, he said no, because he doesn't want to change. And I think that it's not that he doesn't love you. That's not it at all. But he doesn't want to change anything either.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He likes lifestyle.
He said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to just, and that's just the way
like
it is.
That.
I'm going to do what I want to
do.
Guys,
it's a difficult
time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
not
a relationship. You can't be like
that
in a relationship. So I think I got it. Yeah.
All right, Ben. I hope
that helps
you.
Shelley.
It does. That helps a lot.
I hope
it
brings clarity, and I wish you
the best. When I'm going to stop the train at the station.
Yeah. All right, sweetie. Love you.
All right.
Love you, Shelley.
Love you.
Take care.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I think it's time to close, and I want you, Kim, to tell us anything you want to tell us about how to contact you, about some of your awesome services, etc.
Sure. Well, you guys can jump on my website at kimbabcock.net. And that's where you can find information about my private sessions that I do and also upcoming events. We have Sedona coming up in October and then New Orleans coming up in November. And those both should be a lot of fun. Sedona is going to be incredible. So you guys jump on my website and look for the tickets, and the itineraries are up as well if you have questions there. You can also go on Amazon and check out my book called Inside Out. Hopefully it'll help you. Whatever you're going through, we go through all kinds of stuff through life, and hopefully this book will help you just achieve a little bit of peace that's consistent throughout the process of life. So, again, that's on Amazon. It's also on my website, too. And I want to thank you guys so much for being here and for listening. And I'll give you guys a heads up. My website is about to undergo a complete overhaul. It's going to be a whole new website. I'll give you guys a heads up when that takes place. But also, don't forget channelingeric.com. And you guys, go to YouTube and look at the videos. There's so much helpful information there, too. And on Facebook, all across the board, on social media, you guys, check it out.
All right. Well, thank you, Kim. And Eric, thank you. I love you so much.
Thank you. He's like, I love you, Mom. He's blowing you kisses.
Okay. So bye, everybody.
Have a wonderful night. Have an awesome week.
Until next Monday, have a great week, peeps.
That's right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.